Last week, Rachel Den Hollander was more than over 100 women and girls who spoke publicly. You may have seen it in the news. They spoke of their experience of abuse. They confronted their gymnastics sports medical doctor, Larry Nassar, for his horrific behavior. Rachel's statement was a unique one. She also cried out for the severest judgment. She did not hold back from naming his actions as evil and wicked. And she begged the court to send a strong message to the world that young girls need to be cherished, they need to be empowered, not harmed or used for one's own sick pleasure. But she also talked about the importance of repentance. She saw Larry bring in a Bible to the courtroom, the accused. She talked about the usefulness of God's law to bring about true remorse, forgiveness, and life transformation. And this is what she said. Should you ever reach the point of truly facing what you have done, the guilt will be crushing. And that is what makes the gospel so sweet. Because it extends grace and hope and mercy where none should be found. And it will be there for you. I pray you experience this soul-crushing weight of guilt, so that you may someday experience true repentance and true forgiveness from God, which you need far more than forgiveness from me, though I extend that to you as well. These powerful words, these beautiful words, sum up what we see in today's scripture. The Israelites, in our Old Testament reading, have just experienced the soul-crushing blow of the law, the Ten Commandments. Along with the Word of God on those tablets of stone that were read also aloud, there was an earthquake, trumpet blast, smoke, fire, and terror on every side. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods, nor take my name in vain. You shall observe the Sabbath day, honor your parents. You shall not murder, commit adultery, steal, bear false witness, nor covet. And so God says in our reading, they were right when they said they could not hear God's voice. They were right when they said they could not see the great fire, lest they die in fear and terror. That is the correct response. To feel overwhelmed and crushed by the law of God. For we know the law always condemns. It always convicts us. Because we have not kept it faithfully. We have sinned in thought, word, and deed by what we have done and left undone, as we confessed earlier in the service. The kind and loving thing to do for God is to allow that soul-crushing experience in our lives. We come to realize our limitations. We confront our demons. We look into the law's mirror and what we see is the stain of sin on us, body, soul, and spirit. We come to terms with how much harm and destruction our own behavior has caused. That's a good experience, Rachel says, because after having tasted the bitterness of the law, now you can know how truly sweet the gospel of Jesus Christ is. The reformer Martin Luther said that the terror of God's law and its demand of perfect obedience and righteousness caused him to hate God. He said, "I regarded God only as a severe and terrible judge seated on a rainbow. I tortured myself, thinking that I could acquire righteousness by my own works and strength. And so I hated God and his righteousness." And that's why God raises up Moses to be his prophet. God in man made manifest. That God would help God's people understand their shame, their guilt, and their sin, but that he would also help them see God's path to forgiveness and life transformation. That is what I so admire about Rachel Den Hollander and her courage to speak. That she would want, yes, the devastating blow of the law to fall upon her accused fully, but also to embody the great prophet. For she comes in the order of that great prophet, speaking with pity and compassion to her accuser, wanting him to fully experience the great prophet, Jesus, in all his mercy and grace. That is what the great prophet God and Moses promise, that he will speak with great authority, that he'll confront our sin, he'll confront our captivity to evil, and yes, even our demons. Like Moses, he will lead us through the wilderness of this world. Like Moses, he will help us better understand God's law and its demand for righteous perfection. And like Moses, he will provide a way for forgiveness and safely bring us to freedom. Jesus is that great prophet. And we too can be in that same order of great prophets. He astonishes the experts in the law by his teaching. He shocks them with his authoritative voice. He delivers people from their worst demons and amazes them. And his fame spreads. And he does all of this to deliver us from the terror of the law and the captivity of evil and death. He leads us from fear to faith, making fear truly the beginning of wisdom. That is what the great prophet does. He confronts sin and evil directly and openly, so that we can see and experience the love of God that he has for the world fully. He overcomes our fear by providing himself, God and man made manifest, the one we can wholeheartedly trust, the one who comes in authority to remove all doubt, to build confidence in his person and in his work for us. And so he confronts our ills, our sin, our death on the cross of Calvary. And he rises again, authoritatively, prophetically, to ensure you and me of absolute forgiveness and eternal life. Son of God, eternal Savior, source of life and truth and grace, Word made flesh, whose birth among us hallows all our human race. You, our head, who throned in glory, your own will ever plead. Fill us with your love and pity. Heal our wrongs and help our need. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.